All right, good morning. Wow, a lot going on last week. The S&P 500 fell for 4 days straight. The Nasdaq down almost 6%. So we got to see what's happening this week. And this week we will talk about key inflation data and also Powell is testifying. We also have earnings season kicking off with banks reporting on Friday. COVID cases are still rising. Lots more going on here. So we have a lot to talk about. Today is Monday, January 10th. And if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. And that super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. Together, we have more than 47 years of trading experience. And every morning, we sift through a mountain of news websites, newsletters, and reports. And then we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know as you head into your trading day. If this is your first time here, I know it can be overwhelming, so don't worry. We have a special video just for you that I will link to in the description, and that's a great place to get started. So let's see what is happening in the markets here. And let me actually, before we look at the economic calendar, Mark, bring up the S&P 500 from last week. So there's a daily chart.
S&P having a tough week last week after making record highs early on. It seemed like we were going to see that follow through from a little bit of a Santa Claus rally, and then the Fed shared their minutes, and markets didn't like that. So markets tumbling, S&P lower for the week, about 2.5% for the week down, that is. But NASDAQ hardest hit, Marcus.
Yeah, so let's switch over to the NASDAQ. So we see it here, and really right now, scratching the lows that have been established here in early December and also shortly before Christmas. And we'll take a look at the markets live here in just a moment. And this morning, looks like we are back in the red again. So, I mean, let's talk very briefly about last week, what happened there. So I'm going to switch to the economic calendar because last week what traders paid attention to was the unemployment rate. So let's talk about this for a moment.
Sure. So we had the jobs report for December coming out, and the unemployment rate ticked lower. So a real strong unemployment rate. Especially considering the 2 years of, you know, the pandemic going on. So a sub 4% rate is normally strong for the economy. And it's typical that rates don't go too far below 4%. So this is a very strong sign for jobs. Now, on the other hand, the jobs added weren't as high as expected. So it was a bit of a mixed report in a sense.
Yeah. So, and I mean, this is where we'll see what happens here this week, right, as a follow-through, because we know that the Fed has the dual mandate of keeping the unemployment low, and we know that they seem to succeed with that. However, right now, it's all about inflation. And if we are looking ahead at this week's economic report, then we see that we do have several inflation data coming out here on Wednesday and Thursday.
Busy week for inflation, and right now that's the hot ticket. I mean, that's what people are paying attention to. Also the Fed. So, you know, they're at the beginning, once we had that mixed jobs report on Friday, maybe traders were trying to digest it, wondering, you know, what do we do? Will the Fed step in? But right now, inflation is absolutely the Fed's, you know, key focus because jobs are good.
Yeah. So, I mean, this week, let's talk about it. There's four things that traders will focus on this week. First of all, yes, the CPI and the PPI data. And I mean, last month they came in at what? The CPI at 6.8%, which was the highest since 1982. So the highest in 39 years. So we'll see, is this slowing down or is this still going on? So this is one of the things that traders are paying attention to. The other is tomorrow, Fed Chair Powell is testifying, and this is his nomination hearing, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then so it's his nomination hearing. It's before the Senate panel. And so then we also have the hearing of Fed Governor Lael Brainard. Okay. And this will be on Thursday. And so, I mean, What can we expect here? I mean, we could just expect Powell to reiterate what we learned in the meeting minutes last week, right? I mean, that we will have probably three, maybe even four rate hikes this year, that there's an unwinding of the balance sheet. So, I mean, this can definitely move the markets if they're saying, okay, so what's the plan for this year? Because that will be a part of the nomination hearing.
Sure. You know, I didn't realize it was a nomination hearing. I hadn't read into that too much. But I did read that an analyst at Goldman Sachs is now expecting four rate hikes next year. So I thought that was interesting because three was, you know, seemed to be the increase and also what Goldman Sachs was expecting. But this analyst said persistently high inflation combined with a labor market near full employment will push the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates more than expected this year. And if you know, that's an interesting take because it sounded like three rate hikes was actually going to be a little high for the market and what traders expect.
Yeah. Well, and then also what is happening this week is earnings season is kicking off. And so, I mean, there's a few companies reporting, but all eyes will be on the banks that are reporting on Friday. And on Friday, we have JP Morgan reporting. And I mean, with interest rates going higher, JP Morgan had really a good start into the year here. Also, I believe Citigroup is reporting and Wells Fargo, right? These are the three main ones that are reporting on Friday. And as you can see, for the banks, it's up and away together with the interest rates.
Yeah, last Friday, when the market's down, the banks were up. They were doing well. They've continued all through the week. They were doing, they were up real strong, and even pre-market today, they're up.
Yeah, because if we look at the 10-year yield here, we see that the 10-year yield, I mean, it scratched 1.8 and is at the highest level since where? I mean, look at this.
It's been a while.
Highest level pretty much since the pandemic began. Yeah, it has been in December, January 2020. So it's crazy. And I mean, this is where we know that, okay, interest rates are going up. It will be more expensive to borrow money. And this is why growth companies are being hurt here. But I mean, I also looked at the Fed here, the Federal St. Louis Federal Reserve. And the 30-year fixed mortgage rate is also ticking higher. And as we see, it took out the level that we made here in April 2021, and we are now at pre-pandemic levels with an average of 3.22%. So, I mean, this could affect the housing market.
That is interesting. Is that actually pre-pandemic levels or just for 2021?
No, look at this here. In April 2021, it was 3.18, and last week it tipped as high as 3.22. So it is at pre-pandemic levels.
Interesting.
Oh, no, here, sorry. No, you're right. April 2020. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, highest in almost two years, year and a half. So it is on the rise. It is on the rise together with interest rates here.
Still big news.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, we still have the COVID case, and we just see how this is just going higher. I mean, now the 7-day average, more than 700,000 cases. I mean, this is just crazy. And if you see here, I mean, this is when we had this peak, the 7-day average was 250,000. So three times as high as during the height of the pandemic here. Kind of crazy.
It's a big wave. It's a big wave. And of course, hospitalizations are key here. Marcus, I think you caught this, but a wave of Omicron and the flu is knocking out 3% of the U.S. workforce.
Yeah. I mean, 5 million people are staying home. Yeah, that's 3%. And we know that we already have a shortage. So, I mean, let's take a look at the markets here and see what is happening, especially pre-market. I want to switch over to a five-minute chart, and we are going to the E-mini S&P. And this is where we see, okay, at first, overnight, we were ticking higher. But here, I mean, we just have too many news that could negatively affect the market. So here, we are down. S&P 0.6% pointing to a lower opening. Seems that we have found a little bit of a bottom here looking at the NASDAQ. Very similar, and the NASDAQ futures are down more than 1%, 1.2%. The Dow hanging in there. I mean, pretty much flatlining. Flatlining down 0.2%, but all three indices are pointing to a lower opening.
And this was a bit of a surprise because last night, like you said, there was a positive start. It wasn't a big reaction, but I know some of us diehard traders are anxiously looking at the market Sunday evening to see what's going on. And this morning, it was not the same.
For sure not. For sure not. Also, I mean, if you look at cryptocurrencies, I mean, cryptocurrencies this weekend, it was tough for Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin was trading as low, I believe, as 40,500 and something. And so we might see a new support level right here between, what, 39,000 and 41,000 right now. So the previous support level that we had right here, let me just switch back to crosshairs that we can see it better. So right here between, 45,000 and 50,000, I mean, this has been broken and we might establish a new range right here.
Agreed.
Let's also take a look at the VIX, because that's the fear gauge in the market. So the fear gauge in the market this morning definitely ticking higher already. So we are up 12% over Friday's close, but really not spiking, not spiking. The last spike that we saw is when we heard about the Omicron variant, and this was the day after Thanksgiving. That's when it was spiking. I mean, right now the markets are down, and it's basically... Yeah, on news that we know. So there's not much fear, not much uncertainty. It just right now, okay, rocky start into the year for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, and that fear gauge, I mean, it is ticking higher, but Marcus, I think that's a good point, right? It's not at these extremes. So there is a bit of a market sell-off, but it's within, not expectations, but it's manageable, not this, you know, out of the blue panic. Otherwise, we'd be back at those highs that we saw on the VIX.
Yeah, and I just zoomed out a little bit, and we see that when we tick above 30, this is when really there's some fear in the market. Right now, just ticking lower. But it's also interesting. I mean, for the Nasdaq, we have looked for the S&P. We have looked at the 50-day moving average, and it has been holding. We'll see what happens here today, but even with Friday's drop, the close right at the 50-day moving average. But if you look at the Nasdaq, it's definitely a different picture. I mean, trading well below the 50-day moving average. And if you now look at where we made the high, which was late November, to where we are right now, so we are down, 8%. So we're down 8%. We're getting close to a correction territory, which is not bad. I'm not saying that it is bad because, I mean, it was definitely overheating a little bit. And this correction here is quite well.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing another 1.5%. You get the shakeout and then see some buying on earnings.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's take a look at a few individual stocks and then talk about how to trade these crazy markets here right now with increased volatility. But we had some movers here this morning, right?
Yeah, it looked like Tilray popping up. This one's taken a beating in 2021 and a rough start to the year as well. But they reported some earnings, and they're up pre-market up 10%. And last I saw, they're up about 4%. So they're continuing to rally pre-market. They reported an unexpected quarterly profit with revenue increasing by 20% from a year earlier on higher demand for its products.
There you go. Okay. Well, stay at home. Okay. Viacom, back from the dead. I mean, Viacom had this massive slide here. Pretty much a little bit over a year ago, almost a year ago in March 2021. And right now seems to be coming back from the dead. I mean, on Friday, big day, up 8% this morning, a follow through here, another 3% up. Did you see what happened there?
Yeah, so they received an upgrade by Deutsche Bank, or what, you know, Deutsche Bank?
Deutsche right? Bank. Jeez.
Deutsche Bank. Okay. I had to get it from the source there. So the media company was upgraded to a buy from a hold based on upbeat prospects for its streaming business and the likelihood of continuing industry consolidation. So yeah, this got caught up in that. There was a hedge fund that had to do some liquidation, and you could have said that extreme rally there might have been a little irrational, but this one just getting hit hard and making lows last year, but a pretty decent start to 2021, and now up a little bit pre-market.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit more about pre-market. Let's see what big tech is doing here. So Tesla seems to be down 3% in pre-market trading. Facebook, now known as Meta, also down almost 2%. Let's take a look at Apple, that hit $3 trillion just last week. Right now, also sliding here as big tech, down almost 2%. So, I mean, we're definitely pointing to a lower start here.
Especially with the tech names. I was looking, it seems like oil and gas is a little bit flat, but tech definitely getting hit. What about the reopening plays, like airlines?
Yeah, let's take a look at this. So American Airlines, hanging in there, down 0.3%. Delta Airlines, down 0.3%. I mean, that's kind of surprising that they're hanging in there. It just shows that the focus is going away from the Omicron variant, more towards inflation. I mean, this seems to be definitely the bigger subject here right now.
Agreed.
All right. Now, we are trying out here to go a little bit longer on Mondays, on Fridays. Usually we do our stock market update for 15 minutes. So this is where you know what is going on. But let's see what questions and comments you have right here, especially as we are starting the week. And how do you trade this, right? I mean, we are looking here definitely in these market conditions for wheel opportunities. I mean, I can quickly bring up the PowerX Optimizer. And PowerX Optimizer, we ran the scanner. Only one stock was coming up on the scanner, which is expected, right? Because the PowerX strategy here is a trend following strategy. And if you look at overall at the markets here right now, what do we see? I mean, there's no trends, especially if we look at the NASDAQ. We are just right now going sideways. So no surprise that we have fewer trades according to the PowerX strategy. The one trade that we are still in is DCP, and DCP has been working out great. So let me just zoom in here. This is where we entered at 25.85, and the last traded price on Friday was 29.08, close to the first profit target right here. Let me just zoom in a little bit. Actually, look at this. I found a zoom tool. Ooh, that I can zoom in here a little bit.
I like
what
that.
Do you think about this? Okay. Oh, you don't see it in the recording. Okay, never mind. Okay. So yeah, this is looking good. And other than this, I mean, we'll definitely be focusing today on the wheel and exactly. See what is happening here. So we have a few more minutes before the markets are opening and we see our scanner popping up here. But Mark, let's see what other questions we have. And yeah, I see that who is it? T.S. Witt is looking at Tilray right now. And yeah, we just talked about this. So good to see everybody here. It's fantastic. And the bros of Beyblade says, don't know what to do. You see, this is why it's super important to actually have a trading plan. And we did a video on this, on how you can create a trading plan for you. And so if we will link to it in the description. You're going to love it. So it's important that you have a plan for these different market conditions. And I mean, for these market conditions right now, I think the wheel strategy is just perfect. I mean, especially Mark, with higher volatility, right? I mean, this is where we see higher premium. That's good, good, good.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the start, even though we're down, because you know, I had shares of Boeing called away last Friday, so yep. Made some nice money on Boeing, collected a ton of premium there. So opening a slot up there. And I saw someone mentioned UNG, a nice pre-market. That was Mike and I believe David too. So UNG getting some movement pre-market and looking forward to selling calls.
Oh yeah, this will be great for selling calls here this morning. So we'll definitely do this. Yeah, Jim says watching from the Coliseum seats and sitting on my cash today while the market gladiators go at it. I mean, we'll see. There might be some good opportunities, especially if you have a few slots available for the wheel strategy. I mean, we'll see what happens today. Definitely looking forward to the opening here. And yeah, Mark is asking, what does it all mean for me as a trader? Plan for choppy trading? I believe this week, yeah. This week will remain choppy. I doubt that markets will find a direction this week. So you see, this week with Jerome Powell speaking again, testifying, with CPI data coming in, this will continue to rock the market. Now, it might change as we kick into earnings season. And if you hear from companies of how they did last quarter, and also what they're expecting going into 2021 too. So this is where probably starting next week, we might see a little bit of an upswing. But this week, definitely, I expect it to be very, very choppy trading here. All right, that's what Mark was asking or commenting here. Yeah, and Jim, always check futures Sunday night before bedtime. I do the same. Mark, do you do the same? Just as a trader, you can't wait until Monday morning, right? You want to know what's happening. So as soon as the markets open, the futures markets open Sunday evening, I'm checking them. What about you?
Yep. It's a dirty little habit.
Yeah.
I don't do anything with the information. It's just curious minds want to know.
Yeah. All right. UNG up today. Yeah, absolutely. Lang Eye says, anything we can short today? You see, right now in these market conditions, I'm not big on shorting. I mean, with the PowerX strategy, we are going long. With the wheel strategy, we're betting on stocks that are moving up. And this is what we saw. I mean, if you look at the S&P 500, as a day trader, it might make sense to short a few things. But if you're looking here, bring up the 50-day moving average and basically show at what was happening here. Ever since we had the drop here of the pandemic, you see, it's kind of up and away. Don't fight it. I think the markets are right now a little bit like the rubber duck, right? I mean, in the bathtub, you can put the rubber duck in the bathtub down, but eventually it plops up back up, right? And this is what we are seeing here. Even though we have been a rocky December, definitely, especially looking here at the NASDAQ, rocky December for sure, and also rocky start into the year. There we go. Oops, I'm not showing the screen. But there we go. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're day trading, then maybe yes. For the longer term, I don't think that shorting will work out here in 2022. We shall see.
Hey, Marcus, do you see 1969 Texas Cowboys question?
Here, how do you pick stocks for the wheel when everything is down? Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is where we like to use our wheel scanner, right? So we have the PowerX Optimizer. So we are looking at the wheel scanner. And then we have two main criteria. And criteria number one is, do you want to own the stock in the long run? So when the list of stocks is coming up there. And the second criteria is, do you want to own it at the strike price? I did a video on this. We'll link to it in the description that you can take a look at this. But yeah, it's a great question. And this is where, yeah, the scanner makes it easy for us. And we'll start scanning here in, what time is it now? Okay, in 7 minutes from now. We'll start off probably with selling some calls on UNG because it's popping up nicely here. So this will be good, up almost 5%. So, and then, yeah, I mean, we also last week entered KSS. So with a strike price of 45. So we are good here, even though in pre-market trading, KSS is a little bit down here. And then also GDX. So this is working out great. We sold puts here at the 29 level. So right here. Anyhow. Good, good, good. Hey, Kevin. So good to see you. Kevin and I had a little bit of discussion over the weekend about the risk-free trades. Looking forward to continuing the discussion with Kevin here. All right, Joe is asking, is it still okay to sell puts under the current market conditions? I know the premiums will be good, but maybe risk being assigned in many positions and stock falling further. I mean, when trading, there's always risk. Mark, what do you think about this?
Well, yeah, and this is where, again, if it's a stock that you want to own, it's a strike that you want to own the stock at, the next thing I'd look at is support, right? Look at where buyers have stepped in the past. And I think that when you have an opportunity where the market is falling, you're going to see more premium. So you could collect more premium, which makes the puts more rich, more profitable, but it also gives you more downside protection, right? So if the market's quiet, maybe you could normally sell puts about 4% below the current market. But then when you have that extra volatility and uncertainty, maybe that same put you could sell for 8% below the market. So you have a little more cushion. And that means if you do get assigned, you're just buying the stock at a discount from where it's trading today. So I think done right, and if you're conservative and doing it on the right stocks, there's plenty of opportunity here.
Yeah. I want to address micro questions. How do you look at futures the night before? I mean, what we are using here is TradingView, and you see there are some symbols. They're called ES1 exclamation mark. These are the E-mini S&P futures. Then you have NQ1 exclamation mark. This is the NASDAQ futures, and then you have YM1 exclamation mark. And these are the Dow futures. And usually you're getting 15 minutes delayed data unless you pay for a subscription with Bolger, Mark, and I do. So we are having live data. Not quite sure how much this is. It wasn't that expensive, right, Mark? Wasn't it like 20 bucks or something like this per month?
Yeah, it used to be super expensive, but it wasn't bad through TradingView.
Yeah. All right. So thoughts on Zoom. Will it continue to slide? So ZM, I mean, pre-market down another 3%. I mean, Zoom has been going down, down, down. I'm almost inclined to switch to a weekly chart here. And Zoom, clearly a pandemic winner, and now sliding down. What are your thoughts on this, Mark?
I don't like to try and pick bottoms and catch a fallen knife here. And right now, this is continuing to slide. So I it's hard to say what's a fair value for this, and I personally would stay away. I think you're going to find better opportunities out there.
I believe so too. You see, I think that Zoom needs to bring out some innovations. They tried where they say, hey, you know what? We also offer voice over IP. Really? You too? Everybody is already offering voice over IP. So I think that, we're a little bit zoomed out, and this is what we are seeing here. At first, this meteoric rise basically during the pandemic, going from $50 to over $500. And now, yeah, where is a fair valuation? I would definitely stay away from this. Let's just go here first. Maybe the correction in the NASDAQ is finished. I do believe that we will see the 10%. I believe that the NASDAQ will drop another 2% at some point this week, that we have a 10% true correction from the highs that we made around November 20th, end of November here. And then we might actually turn around. And this is what mTORA says. When do you think the markets will change this trend? By February? I think as earnings season kick off next week, because then the focus will shift from Omicron, from inflation to earnings. And this is when I think we might see a change of trend. What do you think, Mark?
I think so too. I mean, trade what you see, not what you think, right? After last week and the jobs report, I thought that this week would be a little more choppy and, you know, sideways, where right now we're kind of picking up where we left off with this slide pre-market. And there is that key CPI data this week. I mean, that's a biggie, but I agree. I think that the narrative could change a little bit when we start to get into earnings. It's, you know, it's really all about the Fed too. So watch what the Fed says and watch those yields.
Yeah. Michael is asking about Nvidia for the wheel. You see, I'm still here on a weekly chart, and you see that this moved up, especially recently since October, almost parabolic. And I don't like it when a stock moves up in a parabolic way. And this is what we see here, that right now it is pushing down. I don't know if it will find support right here at around the 265 level, or if this will drop back down and find more support at the 200 level. So this is where here, for me personally, for the wheel, I don't see enough support up here. I would be happier to own Nvidia at a price of 200 if it comes down there. Mark, what do you think about this?
Absolutely. I think Nvidia is solid. It's just, where do you want to own it? And if it's, you know, testing these, making new lows here, support's being broken, it could get back down to 200, 220, and I'd rather be down there.
Yeah. All right, and we also have Jim, who entered KSS last week. So Kohl's, I mean, this I think is a super solid trade. And if we look at Kohl's, it's easier to identify support right here. And so we did sell puts at 45 right here.
Yeah.
and oh my gosh, you see, there was a time when we were selling puts at 1850. I just see this there. Can probably get rid of this one. Let me just see if I can delete this one.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Yeah, and I saw that Jim said he sold it at 44. David Durham said the 46 still looking good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These are looking looking good. So Dan says, are your available slots based on margin against notional value of trade? Well, this is where, you see, this is where we talked about a trading plan a few sessions ago. And part of the trading plan is your position sizing, right? So if you have, let's say, $500,000 in buying power in your account, how do you allocate it, right? Do you allocate it to five trades and do you do it equally to 100,000, 100,000, 100,000, 100,000? Or do you say that you're setting aside maybe 20%, like 100,000 for possible rescue missions, and then you take the remaining 400,000 and you divide those equally by five? Or maybe you say, you know what, I want to be diversified more. Instead of five positions, I'm doing 6 to 8. So this is where it goes back. It's super difficult, Dan, to answer this question for you. This is where your trading plan comes into play here. Okay. Anyhow, hey, Mark, we need to get going. I see that the market's just open. So we need to look for some opportunities, sell some UNG calls if we can and get some nice premium there. So we'll get started. We appreciate you being here. If you would like to know how we trade the markets, I'll link to the wheel strategy right here and also the PowerX strategy so that you can take a look at those strategies. And then we'll see you in the next video. Have a great day.
Happy trading, everybody.